There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Wednesday, and more information coming in on now landfalling Hurricane Michael, and we're joined again by staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams with more on this. Dr. Bill, good afternoon, and looking at these numbers, I'm seeing 155 miles per hour. What is that?
Yeah, that was the last measurement of the maximum wind in the storm before it reached the coast. Just shy of being a Category 5, which
wow.
I believe begins around 156, 157.
Now, you said that this morning, that there was a chance of it getting to Category 5 status. Usually, you're talking about storms that are, you know, of higher intensity that seem to weaken as they get closer to land. But in this case, Michael got stronger.
Yeah, it really did. So many of the storms, as they reach a higher latitude, getting up toward the northern Gulf Coast, they start to become sheared by the upper level winds. But this did not happen. Conditions remained very favorable for intensification all the way to the coast, and the storm took advantage of those conditions.
Wow, and 155 miles per hour. I mean, a couple things. Obviously, just the sheer speed of the wind and its damage on structures and trees and those kind of things. But also, that wind is what drives the water, right?
That's right, and exerts sort of a drag on the water. And now many areas are experiencing a storm surge now, where the wind will shift around to the southwest on the southern portion of the storm, and they will start to experience some high water. But it's an amazing storm. It is now officially onshore, and it will start to lose strength, not immediately, but it will over the next few hours. It will decrease in intensity, but the circulation will remain pretty much intact, and it'll be that way as it moves on up into Georgia tonight. So the folks up in southwest Georgia, they're in for some rough times tonight, because that storm is still going to have quite a punch. With you'll find in the squalls in even up in Georgia, they'll produce some hurricane force gusts.
Yeah, well, you talk about it. You know, a storm loses strength as it goes over land, but when it starts off at 155 miles an hour, it can lose a lot of speed and still be, I mean, well above
right.
Hurricane speed.
Exactly, and so it's going to be a very powerful storm all the way across the Panhandle and on into southwest Georgia, and it remained a reasonably strong system all the way up to Georgia and into the Carolinas, although it'll be classified as a tropical storm, and eventually will decrease below that status, but it's going to produce a lot of rain and a lot of wind damage up to even in the Carolinas.
You know, I know that a lot of us civilians on this look at wind speed as a mark or the numbers that are given to storms, but I know people in your line of work pay attention to the pressure a lot in storms, and it looks like at 919 millibars coming in for Michael. That's pretty low, Dr. Bill.
It is. It's very, very low, an indication of the strength of this storm. And it's getting a lot of attention, that 155-mile-per-hour winds. I want to point out that in 1969, Hurricane Camille, just before it reached the Mississippi coast, in fact, the last measurement was at the mouth of the Mississippi River, Air Force reconnaissance found the peak wind at 180 miles per hour with gusts over 200.
Holy cow. And and without getting into a too in-depth of a discussion here, that the wind increase in storms, let me see if I get it right. I've only been working with you for decades now. But the wind increase in these hurricanes is not incremental. It's logarithmic in its damage.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of pictures right now of the Weather Channel and others. We're showing everybody out there, or at least the reporters out there in the wind. Well, many of them are out between hotels, mm-hmm. and you're not getting a real feel for the strength of the wind. It's going to be in those areas where we don't have those big, tall buildings to block the wind, and which has enabled them to stand out there.
Yeah, because you couldn't,
on television.
Right. Yeah, right. It's good for people to understand that, put it in perspective, because at 155, or heck, when numbers a lot less than that, you wouldn't be able to stand up.
That's right, exactly. Now, those tall buildings in Panama City, and getting on up to 10 stories and perhaps higher than that, they're getting quite a high wind at those elevations, because really the strongest winds in the hurricane are up at least 1,500 feet above the surface. And it's not quite as high, the velocity down the surface, because of friction with the surface features. But, yeah, the winds are higher aloft. So those high-rise buildings are getting a lot of stress up there.
You were talking about that earlier, though, that as Michael makes its way inland, sometimes in those bands, those higher-level winds are somehow, and I don't know what the process is, but they're transported to ground level.
Transported down through thunderstorms down to the surface, and so sometimes you get some very dramatic damage that might go on for a couple of hundred yards, and then after that you find that very little damage, and then later on again you'll see another swath of heavy damage where those higher level winds have been brought down to the surface.
Looking at the radar loop, the short-term radar loop, and it looks like it's making that pull, like you explained, heading towards Albany, so north-northeast, or east-northeast, heading towards Albany, Georgia. Is this as far, like right now, is this as far west as the rain and the wind from Michael is coming? I mean, have Mobile and Baldwin County seen the extent of it now? Or
looks that way. It looks like we're going to be spared from a lot of the rain, and as well as the high winds. So it's just going to be breezy this afternoon and tonight. And there's possibility of an outlier shower that may spin around, but right now it looks like most of it is moving off toward the northeast.
All right, Dr. Bill. Well, we have a lot more to go with this storm. You said this is going to make its way back into the Atlantic. Am I correct?
It will eventually go back to the Atlantic off the coast of North Carolina or southern Virginia. That'll be about Friday. And it may even strengthen a little bit as it goes offshore. That's a possibility, but at least it's going offshore. And
Does it stay offshore?
Leslie, it's out in the Atlantic. I think it's been there all month, or at least a month it's been out there in the Atlantic making several loops. But it's now back up to a hurricane again, and it's heading more to the south and southeast. It's trying to get back to the tropics, which for a hurricane, that's a good move. And we also have now another named storm, Nadine, which is way out near the African coast. I don't think we have to worry about that. It's moving to the northwest, so it's kind of busy in the tropics right now.
Holy cow, yeah. People think October, oh, yeah, it's all over. It's October. Hey, it's getting cranked up right now. Dr. Bill, thank you for the update. We'll check back with you very soon.
Okay, Sean.
Staff meteorologist, tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams, exclusively here at FM Talk 106.5. Three in the pinball game that is the Atlantic Basin. Wow. All right, coming right back. Grab some calls, 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. By the way, your chance to win them before you can buy them tickets to Jim Gaffigan coming up. That show coming up in May at the Amphitheater at the Wharf. Tickets go on sale on Friday. We'll talk more about that. It also give you a chance to win some tickets before you can buy them coming up sometime between now and 2 o'clock right here on Midday Mobile. All right, checked in with Katarina Lukatich early this morning with News 5, early this morning during Mobile Mornings, and she's still posted up in Pensacola, and we're going to go back and see what's changed and what's new. Katarina, where are you in Pensacola?
We're right on Pensacola Beach, and we've been here since about 3:30, and things have really gotten better over the last hour or so. I think we saw the last rain band that we're going to see. We were seeing waves upward of 15 feet earlier, and now they've really calmed down. So things have calmed down a lot. There are a lot of people out here sightseeing. Tracking the winds, we really never got up to tropical storm force winds. They never had to shut down the bridge. So things in Pensacola fared pretty well.
Okay, well, that's good. I know there are a lot of people there that had evacuated points east, so thank goodness they didn't evacuate into some place that got damaged itself.
Yeah, that's right. And we have crews in Destin right now, too, and they're starting to feel some of those strongest winds, and they closed the bridges over into Santa Rosa County and onto Destin, so our crews are kind of hunkered down there until it gets better, but they said that they're feeling the worst of what they're going to feel now.
Now, you talked about those waves up to 15 feet. What about any kind of, and it may be hard to gauge there, I don't know, the surge, those of us that have been to Pensacola Beach, I mean, how far up, you know, not just the waves crashing, but how far did the water come up today?
It didn't really come up that far, and I think the thing that helped that was low tide was at 8:44 this morning, so I think that really helped out the situation as in terms of surge.
That's good, yeah. When those things line up, that's always a problem when you line up a high tide and a peak surge. What about in Pensacola, other than that, everything operating normally? I know that there were crews, I guess I had heard from Florida Power, that had staged on that side over there to be able to go in and help out coming from the west to the east. So, I mean, I don't know. Are they hearing anything about them rolling on now? Are they going to wait?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Gulf Power crews. I knew that they were ready to deploy, but as for here on Pensacola Beach, there were a bunch of power crews from over in Mississippi, and they deployed about 10 o'clock this morning, and they were going over to Georgia ahead of landfall, getting ready for all the power outages there. So certainly some power crews have already deployed to go help other areas that will be affected.
All right. Well, thank you for the update. I know it's been a long day already, but thank goodness the worst of the weather is through your area, and we can get things back to normal for folks in Pensacola.
That's right. We're counting our blessings, and we're praying for everyone over in the east.
Very much so. Katerina Lukatich, News 5, thank you. It is, yeah, and talk about praying for people to the east. Wow. Just what we're seeing so far, of course, we'll see, you know, the next day or two when more pictures. The areas, I would imagine, you're seeing video out of Panama City. You're seeing video out of, although I don't think I've seen a new video out of Apalachicola in quite a while. Maybe an hour and a half ago was seeing that video. But Mexico Beach seems to be the landfall, I guess the X there where the actual landfall took place. Those kind of places right at landfall that we're sustaining 155 mile per hour winds. So a mile or two per hour away from being Category 5. Those areas we're not seeing much out of, obviously. If anybody stayed there, they're not communicating. You know, I mean, you can only imagine why. And crews, and whether they're news crews or power crews, not getting in there. But over the next day or so, they will. And that's where I imagine to see some of the most compelling video and pictures coming out of those places. Also, saw this here closer to home, even further west than where Katerina is in Pensacola, that they closed Gulf State Pier. Over here, yeah. So waves, story from folks at MyNBC 15 said waves 15 to 20 feet high forced officials at Gulf State Park Pier to close the pier to the public. The strength of the waves pushed up numerous 5-foot-long panels that each weighed 300 pounds. That's what it's designed to do. In other words, they're the breakaway panels on the walkway. But they said it poses an obvious risk to people who would be walking on the pier. Yes, there's an understatement. But yeah, they closed the pier because the waves were big enough. If you think about how Gulf State Pier is, how high it is off the water, the waves were big enough that they were coming up and knocking loose, you know, raising those 5-foot panels. Also, double red flags are flying. Of course, it means illegal now to get in the water. That includes the surfers. That's y'all in Gulf Shores. So that's the situation down there. Baldwin County EMA says rip currents are the biggest threat to people from Michael. I would point out that anytime we have rip current issues, it is a big threat along the Gulf Coast. All right, Dalton, I want to do this and we can get somebody hooked up with some tickets now. Once again, the show with Jim Gaffigan coming up in May. Now, Jim Gaffigan, one of those, you know, I say this and I've corrected myself a couple times, not corrected myself, I guess doubled down when I say he is a clean comedian, because quite often I hear that, just speaking for me, I hear clean comedian, I go, snore. This guy's very funny, and takes a lot more talent, I think, to do that and do it clean. Jim Gaffigan is going to be at the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets go on sale this Friday. And let's do this. Let's take caller number 6 at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll take caller number 6, and you'll win a pair of tickets. Before you can even buy them, to see Jim Gaffigan, Grammy-nominated comedian, actor, writer, producer, two-time New York Times bestselling author, top touring performer, and platinum-selling father of five, known around the world for his unique brand of humor, which largely involves Hot Pockets. Okay, and also fatherhood and his observation on life. So, good luck there, 343-0106. Wow, we've got a couple different texts about Tyndall Air Force Base, which was right there where the landfall is going on. This texter says the wind gauge, I haven't confirmed this, but texter has got it here, wind gauge at Tyndall Air Force Base stopped reporting at 129 miles an hour. So, So we're looking at, and I don't know what time that was. I wonder what time that was that they had that last reading at 129, because we're seeing, I guess the peak wind at landfall as gauged by National Weather Service for Michael, 155 miles per hour. Category 4, but as darn close as you can almost get to being a Category 5 without being a Category 5. I mean, this is Ivan territory. It's considerably bigger than, this makes sense for us Mobilians, right? Bigger than Frederick. So, there's going to be so much damage along that area. And so many areas there of that area. Number one, low-lying. Number two, a lot of stick-built homes, right? Single homes on the beach, those kind of places. The damage is it's going to be monumental for sure. All right, congratulations. Got a winner here. And Carl Smith, hey, good job. Carl won a pair of tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan at the Wharf Amphitheater show, once again, May 11th. So it's coming up in May. Saturday show, too, so you don't have to get up in the morning. Unless you're preaching or something. But other than that, you don't have to get up in the morning. So you have no excuse. 7:30 show in the evening, Saturday, May 11th. Tickets go on sale this Friday starting at 10 a.m. Online at Ticketmaster.com. Charge by phone, 800-745-3000. Once again, tickets go on sale Friday. You got another chance to win them coming up tomorrow and also on Friday right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, I want to grab another couple stories here before we head to the break. And we've got something really cool coming up that's coming up over the next couple days down at Bellingrath. We'll talk about that shortly. But the fight is on, and we'll see where this goes. But I played some audio for you yesterday, right? The Mobile City Council meeting. Mobile City Council meeting that had members of Public Works come and address the council, call it address, or get on the case of the Mobile City, well, really the administration, and they were doing it as a conduit through the Mobile City Council. Yeah, Public Works employees do a sick out, and then on top, there's a sick out, and then there's what happened here. Meaning, when there's a sick out with employees, you could pretend, at least there is the chance that you were all really sick and couldn't come to work, right? But when you show up at the Mobile City Council meeting, when you're out sick, air quotes here, begs the question, what happens next? A story from MyNBC 15 says 22 out of 36 Public Works employees called in sick yesterday. An additional 10 left their post yesterday morning without permission and are considered absent without leave. Once again, you heard attorney Ricardo Woods and I think Councilman Joel Days both say in the meeting yesterday, y'all need to, I'm paraphrasing here, putting it in Sullivanese, y'all need to go back to work. And those members of Public Works did not. This is, I think, going to be a big story going forward. They talked about the fact that trash pickup already 13 weeks behind. And the members of the Public Works Department weren't working that day. And we'll see what happens. Because there's complaints of unfair treatment going on. There's a comparison between Public Works and Public Safety, which I don't know if that is a fair one or not. But Public Works, in so many ways, I mean, that was a strike yesterday, correct? I mean, when everybody calls in sick, 22 out of 36, think about that. If yesterday was your trash day, in Mobile. 22 of 36 called in sick. Another 10 left work in the morning. So I'm no math magician here, but that left 4 Public Works employees to get the job done yesterday. See what happens next on that. 1:30, we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:36, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Hour number 2, glad to have you here on this Wednesday. We will keep you up to date on the latest on Hurricane Michael making its way inland right now. Staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams says next on its list, Albany, Georgia, where still should be packing hurricane force winds when it affects that area of southwest Georgia, then tracking through the state of Georgia up through the Carolinas. Yeah, right where they were soaked with rain before. Another 5 to 8 inches expected up there as well. So we'll give you more on this throughout the afternoon and evening. And of course, more updates tomorrow morning with Dr. Bill with Mobile Mornings. All right, here's the good story that Dr. Bill has been telling us. As the hurricane goes off to our east, the beautiful weather comes into the west, and it couldn't be more perfect for Packed Mobile's production of Once on This Island, because it's an outside production. Jacob Bro from the Pack is joining us here, and also we'll talk to Kinsey and Amy about this. First of all, thanks for coming in, and yeah, finally, some nice weather showing up, and y'all have an outside production going on.
Yeah, we're so excited. We'll be at Bellingrath Gardens on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The show starts at 7:15, and we're really hoping that y'all come out and see what we have.
Okay, so it's at Bellingrath, which is a fantastic setting. Tell us, somebody has not seen Once on This Island, is not familiar with the story. Is this family show? Is this, what happens?
Totally, it's 100% family friendly, and I'm going to let Amy explain a little bit.
Yeah, Amy, come on in here. Yeah, tell me about this.
So, Once on This Island is a beautiful, beautiful story and score, and it's about a girl named Timoon, and ironically, she is saved and spared from a hurricane. Her parents both die, and she is spared by the gods. So she spends a good deal of the show, or the piece, trying to figure out what her purpose is and why they saved her. And once she thinks she's figured that out, we get to go on this amazing journey with her. As she experiences a lot of firsts, she gets to come face to face with these 4 gods who are amazing characters, and she gets to lead us and become this extraordinary human being, and we get to go on that journey. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to
give it away, right?
Yes.
But it's I'm just thinking about the fact that the show is set on an island, but now it's set outside as well. Is that harder as you're putting a show together to do a show that's going to be outside, or is it, Kinsey, is it easier to do a show outside? Or is there any difference when you're training for this?
Really for this show, because it's been so creatively produced and it's outside and we're barefoot and we're on the ground, it's definitely difficult running in between scenes and trying to like keep character and switch between your scenes and songs and musical numbers. But really when you get down to it, it's a beautiful, beautiful show. And I feel like us being on the ground and with the audience and so intimate, it's such an intimate setting with the audience, it's really, really fun getting to, I don't know, just experience this entire thing on the ground and up close with everyone.
Yeah, this is going to be on the Great Lawn, right, there at Bellingrath?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, is this a first, Jacob, for you producing a show that would be outside, not on a, I mean, you produced some fantastic shows, but I don't know that I've ever seen one of your shows that wasn't on a stage.
Nope, it's the first time. It's been definitely an experience. We started, you know, in a studio that's only about 20 feet,
mm-hmm.
and we went to a little bigger, and now we ran it. We go to 80 feet. And so
right.
It's such a experience for everyone involved. It's a process, and we all find it throughout the process.
And this story, too, you talk about that it's a good family show and good takeaway here. So when people come out, because people want to introduce maybe themselves as an adult mm-hmm. or maybe their children to a live theater, this would be a good one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we focus a lot on, in this show, about relationships
okay.
and finding yourself in your character. And these characters are so relatable to everyone. So even if you're 80 years old or 8 years old, you will relate to something in this show.
All right, well, let's talk about this. Somebody's listening, wants to come out. What's the first night, second night? How do we get tickets? Totally. Walk us through this.
We are taking reservations for tickets. You can buy tickets online at thepactmobile.com. You buy your tickets on there, and you show up at the gardens, and from there you show up around 6, and the gates will open. Bring a chair if you want to sit on the ground.
Okay.
You can sit on the ground, but we do have...
I can bring like one of my folding camping chair, something like that.
You can bring a blanket, you can bring some food, you can bring some drinks, and it's going to be just a fun night at the gardens.
All right, this is exciting. Once on This Island, produced by the Pactmobile, and I guess Jacob, tell people too, because Pactmobile is a new entity here in town. What is the Pactmobile?
The Pact is a performing arts training facility. So we specialize in training the youth and people of all ages for the next step in their career. So we have classes in theater, dance, and acting, and singing, and we have productions coming up. We have auditions for Freaky Friday, and then this month...
Like the great Disney classic Freaky Friday?
We are. This is a brand new musical. Brand new, actually.
Cool. Okay. So, I mean, somebody can come out who would like to be part of something like this, but also somebody who's just working on skill sets. Not necessarily they have to come out and do that and take it to a show. They may just be...
Exactly. If they just want to have some fun, too, and come on out, we have the best time in classes.
We do.
Yeah, tell me about that, Amy and Kenzie. I mean, talk about that. What is like your experience with this, and you know, what draws you to theater? What draws you to the Pact?
For me personally, I had done acting serious acting, not just little musicals when I was younger, for about a year and a half now, and I just wanted to take that extra step to really get my foot in the door with people who. Produce things such as like great shows like this, like Jacob. I know he's in Alabama right now at school, and he's definitely, and he's doing Broadway workshops, and just I really want to get my foot in the door with all this kinds of stuff, and
are you going to take this to the next level? You thinking that this is what you're going to stick with? I know this is a question you probably hear a lot.
I really, really, really do enjoy acting and singing and musical theater. It's amazing, but I honestly want to be a lawyer really badly, which is, I know, interesting, but I really want to be a child advocacy lawyer just because I feel like that's something I'm really interested in.
But if you're going to be in court, then you're going to have a skill set that goes from here to court. You talk about theatrics. Go watch mm-hmm. Go watch some cases. Let's talk about this. So you're in your Team Moon. Right.
Yes,
Amy, talk to me about the process of what draws you. Why theater? Why are you interested in getting yourself involved in this?
Well, I was a professional actor in New York for almost 13 years. And when I moved here, I began to start seeing some theater around and realized very quickly when I started taking private students myself that we had nowhere in Mobile that everything was under one roof.
Right. Is that common in New York to have a facility like this, or is it?
I wouldn't say that it's common. You take a lot of classes from, you know, certain instructors, but you'd have
accessible.
To go to school.
Gotcha.
It's more accessible if you wanted to take something in one area like AMDA or go to Tisch School of the Arts or whatever, what have you. But
one place where you can go say, like to do this and my child's doing this, and I mean, that's got to be convenient too.
Yeah, it's wonderful. My child takes classes at the Pact, and it's great because we not only have dance and voice and acting and all of these workshops, we also have an educational site where kids can go and they can do their homework in between classes. So
that's good.
Yeah, when I met with Jacob, you know, we just sort of met casually, and I started telling him about my philosophy when I teach acting, and we just gelled, and it was just, we were instant sort of partners in it, and it's just really wonderful to see these kids learning and growing and at such a fast pace.
Well, we're glad it's happening.
It's a great staff.
Yeah, and we're glad that this level is available here. Okay. So, and number one, I want to remind folks once again the details about getting tickets to Once on This Island. But if somebody's listening to us and says, hey, we're out of town or whatever this weekend, but I am interested in getting involved with the Pact, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way is through our Facebook page or our website. So you can go to thepactmobile.com.
Okay.
Or you can just hit up our Facebook page, The Pact, on Facebook.
All right, very good. And tickets to Once on This Island down at Bellingrath. How do we get our tickets?
You just go to thepactmobile.com and you click Buy Tickets Now. And from there, it's pretty easy.
All right, and we can bring the blanket or the fold-out chair and come check it out on the Great Lawn down at Bellingrath.
For sure.
Big thank you. This is going to be a lot of fun. And, yeah, you get in the wake of the hurricane, just like in the story, you get some beautiful weather here. Amy, Kenzie, Jacob, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming right back. We're going to wrap it up here on Midday Mobile. Website popping right now. You want to check out podcasts of this show or others, remember, go to fmtalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast, and it's right there.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
At 1:50, FM Talk 1065, Midday Mobile. If you didn't hear this earlier, so Hurricane Michael just shy of a Category 5 at landfall, doing something that it's not that it never happens. It just seems to more often these storms will actually lower their wind speeds, get less intense. The barometer will come up on them before they make landfall. The opposite happened here with Michael. 155 mile per hour sustained wind. I put it at 156, I think. 156 or 157. That's Category 5. And so it did 155. Yeah, it did 155 mile per hour winds were the top clocked sustained winds as it came ashore there. Mexico Beach in the Panama City area. Still not, it's a tell here. If you look through social media, you look through the people like what the Weather Channel is putting out, what different news agencies are putting out in the area. You're seeing Panama City. You're seeing, of course, you're seeing the situation in Destin and some of those at Seaside and places like that. But I have seen nothing from Mexico Beach in that area. And I mean, obviously, it's not a highly populated area, but it's where you would have, people's, there would be damage coming out. There would be the videos and pictures coming out of there, but they're not coming out of there. And I mean, that's my take on how bad the damage might be there. That's something we'll probably see later today and tomorrow. Damage in Panama City. I see structures damaged, obviously. Storm surge issues and flooding going on there. Lots of trees down in this. Lots of trees. And that's going to continue as the winds make their way up through. I mean, you think about Florida Panhandle. You've driven down I-10 before, right? You know what that's like. Driven through there and heading to the north. And Dr. Bill says making its way, Hurricane Michael will make its way through Albany, Georgia, up through the state of Georgia and into the Carolinas, where the Cape Fear River, I heard a story earlier. Cape Fear River was just about, I guess it had just crested and was coming down from the aftermath of Florence, maybe over the last couple of days or something to that effect. And now another 5 to 8 inches of rain on top of that. Those poor folks up there. And, you know, I got a text here earlier in the show. Jeff, who's from Baldwin County, he works in catastrophic property adjusting. I've known folks doing that over the years. He said, currently I'm in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Been up here for the last 21 days working the flood and claims and wind claims. We're not looking forward to more rain being dumped on this area. I have homeowners who have just been able to get to their property in the last day or so due to the high floodwaters. So there's been people since 21 days been flooded out of their house and they just now are getting back in and possibly will be flooded right back out. Thanks. Texter told me because I was trying to figure out the elevation there at Mexico Beach because I'd pointed out Apalachicola. I think according to, I don't know if I looked at a topo map or no, I think I just saw a post there that said the elevation at Apalachicola was 13 feet. And, you know, they were looking at 13 or 14 feet of storm surge. And I asked the same thing about Mexico Beach. It says a third street in Mexico Beach. I know there's a lot of y'all. I am not familiar with Mexico Beach. I know a lot of y'all are that have vacationed down there. The third street in Mexico Beach is 12 feet above sea level. Also, this text said the wind gauge at Tyndall Air Force Base stopped reporting at 129 miles an hour before, I guess, it was broken or for some reason didn't continue to transmit that that information. Also, I saw that. Oh, Calvin, yeah, thank you for the picture. Tom Thumb in Foley in front of Lowe's on Highway 59. It seems like the Yeah, the super premium, it's out. They're out of regular, they're out of mid-grade. But as always, the high pricey super premium. That times aren't that bad when there's still some, you know, people said, "You know what? I need gas, but I'm not paying that kind of money." Did hear that they had closed the, I imagine there's probably more than one Waffle House, wouldn't you, Dalton, in Panama City? But we saw that update. They said they had closed the Waffle House in Panama City. I got to imagine there's, I mean, not just for population. I mean, it's Panama City. I mean, if you're looking for an area that would be popular to have many Waffle Houses.
Actually, I have a pretty sad update on that, actually. There's 18 Waffle Houses closed in that area. I'm not sure if it's locally
18.
Only Panama City Beach, but a tweet I saw recently said 18 Waffle Houses.
This is serious.
In the area of the storm have been closed.
Eight.
Yeah.
So, and because we talked about this in the past, the Waffle House Index.
Uh-huh.
And it's something FEMA's even talked about before. They've acknowledged this Waffle House. I mean, it's a little bit of a wink and a nudge and somewhat of a joke, but it actually bears watching because the highest level is the Waffle House is closed.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go through, like, Waffle House open, that's like, oh, let's say that's green.
Yes.
Waffle House closed is red. And then in between you have, like, Waffle House open but limited menu, Waffle House on generator limited menu, full menu or whatever, and as it moves through the spectrum. But Waffle House closed is only for the biggest of storms.
Yeah, and then with 18 closed, I don't know if we've ever seen a number that high, honestly, with the Waffle Houses. I'm sure someone has all the data for how many Waffle Houses have closed for each storm and how long they remained closed. But, you know, there was that one picture a few storms back where Waffle House used to stand and the only thing remaining there were the little swivel chairs
yes.
in front of the bar. Hopefully that does not happen with this storm hitting Panama City. And I don't know if all these Waffle Houses are only in Panama City, but 18 closed in that area.
Yeah, I'm looking, so I'm... Imagine that. I follow Waffle House News on Twitter.
That's great.
I really do. And their last post was yesterday.
Uh-oh.
On that. Let's see.
Check in on them. Somebody check in on them.
The other one is at Waffle House. And yeah, it's there's an 800 number, 877-9-WAFFLE, for more information. And they're just kind of, yeah, it's like what you're saying. Those 18 closed, and there's people. Somebody is already saying, I already miss you. Wow. All right. Anything on the sports front? We got Feinbaum getting ready to start. Any games in Tallahassee for this weekend?
Well, actually, Florida State, their practice schedule has been shifted around this week. So I'm not sure if they are playing in Tallahassee this weekend. I think they may be, but I might be wrong on that.
Okay.
But I did read a story where, their normal weekly practice schedule has been shifted quite a bit because of the storm, obviously. And then I'm sure lots of colleges
because
in that
it's going
area.
To go up through Georgia. The only mm-hmm. thing I'm thinking is you've got the track now going to go up through Albany, Georgia, mm-hmm. up through the state of Georgia, and up to the Carolinas. And I just wonder if, I'm sure Paul Feinbaum will roll out, what games might be affected.
And he was asked that specifically yesterday. And, of course, he has to keep his eyes on the radar because he does so much traveling and he's always involved in the Saturday pregame shows. But he seemed to think that it'll all be out of the way by the time the games start Saturday.
All right. Very good. Feinbaum starting next. Of course, speaking of sports, tonight, talking Auburn Tigers radio show with Bo Meganson, Nexus Cinema.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
Talking about the Tennessee Vols game coming up this week.
Yeah, you have trouble there here. So now you'll know what it's like to be me, right? Yeah. That's happening tonight at Nexus with Bo Meganson, and we'll be back tomorrow morning. Dalton, I, and Kelly for Mobile Mornings. Y'all have a great one.